Well, good morning. We're here at Church of the King. We're about to start our morning worship service. You know, I really strongly believe that we need to continue to live stream, continue to talk to each other, interact with each other, because, you know, our church, while it's small, we do have a true sense of family and community. And when we do get to come back together as one, I don't want to lose that sense of community and family. So I appreciate everybody tuning in to our live stream program. I'm going to announce something else we're going to be doing here at the end of the service. But right now, I'm going to pray, and we're going to invite Yahweh, the King of the universe, to be enthroned in the praises of His people this morning. And if any of you need healing in your body this morning, we are just going to ask God to touch you where you're at. Father, we love You this morning. We praise You. There is no God like our God. And Father, we just, as we praise You this morning in song, we just invite You to be enthroned in the praises of Your people. And Father, for any of our church family who are in need of healing, Lord, I just ask that You touch them and heal their bodies, make them whole in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
That the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Who is free. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died. through the darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie, my sword in every fight. The truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle, mighty, it will let us down or fail us. Your name is power.
Your faithfulness, faithfulness.
still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my sorrow.
anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done.
Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we study your word this morning, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. I actually read something that a rabbi had written for Fox News. It was yesterday or day before. And I want to share that with you because it really applies to what we're going through. And basically, he quoted, he saved me from doing the research of what some ancient rabbis had to say about the times we live in. And so if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 1. And I'm going to dovetail onto what we taught about righteousness last week. Exodus chapter 1, we'll start in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted, now watch now, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they had made them serve was with rigor, hard. They're making them work hard. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one of was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Now, I want to go back to verse 12. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel." Now I want to jump over to verse 20. "Therefore God, because the midwives feared God," they feared God more than they feared the government of Pharaoh. "Therefore God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people," the Jewish people, the children of Israel, "multiplied and grew very mighty." Now what this rabbi said, he referred back to some ancient rabbis, and he said this. He said, one of the worst things that can happen to a person or a people during a time of long or protracted extreme crisis. How many of you know that this coronavirus is an extreme crisis, and it seems to be going to be a long crisis, right? But he said the worst thing that can happen to a people or a person during a long extreme crisis is the loss of the ability to pause, to reflect, and to think deeply. He said you must not lose that ability. I want to take it a step further. In a time of crisis, a long crisis, you know, many of us have watched countless hours of the news, right? I have. I've been guilty of it. Watching the stock market, watching the news play out. And the more of that you watch, the more consumed you become by the crisis. Amen? But we don't want to lose the ability to pause. Take a break from the crisis. Reflect on our own lives. Where am I at? Where is my life at right now? What am I doing? Am I doing anything to help my fellow man? What's my job? Listen, you can be so consumed with the crisis that you forget to pray. And one of the good things about a crisis is it usually sends people to more prayer. But the longer the crisis lasts, the longer it lasts, the shorter our memories are. We get excited. We got a crisis. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to humble ourselves before God. He'll hear our prayer and answer our prayers. Heal our land. But we don't want to grow complacent. The more they afflicted the children of Israel, the more they multiplied. The ancient Jewish tradition teaches that nobody wants hard times. Nobody wants a crisis. Only a nutcase would. The reality is that time periods of extreme hardship gift us the opportunity to obtain, now watch what the rabbi said, that gives the opportunity to obtain outsized, disproportionate personal growth even more than during good times. So a hardship or a crisis gives us the opportunity for personal growth. Amen? Personal growth, more personal growth than we would get during good times. Because I'll tell you, a lot of times during good times, we grow complacent with God. When things are going good, a lot of times we grow complacent. We don't spend as much time in prayer. We don't spend as much time in study. Something else the ancient rabbi said was this. They said that man does not see through the whites of the eyes, but man's vision comes through the black of the pupil. And here was the meaning they give to that saying. In the darkest moments of life, man can attain the greatest vision, clarity, and growth. The question is, during dark times, what will you choose to focus on? The problem or the answer? In every cloud, there's a silver lining. The Bible says, Paul said it. Paul said that God can take a bad situation and get good out of that situation for those who love him. I don't want us to grow complacent at home. We're setting at home. We're staying sheltered in. We're doing what our president has asked us to do. But while you're sheltered in, what are you focusing on? If we're focusing on the problem, if we're focusing on the news, if we're focusing on the stock market, we are going to miss the silver lining in this cloud or this crisis, which is personal growth and understanding of the God we serve. Amen? You don't want to miss this opportunity. We don't want to come out of this. We don't want to come out of this crisis having not used this crisis to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. Somebody say, amen or oh me. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. This is my... I should have sent this to Katrina the other day. This is my favorite passage of Scripture because this is what I've tried to build my life on and this ministry on. You've heard me say many times we don't study Jewish roots here at this church in order to become Jewish. We don't wear kippahs or prayer shawls in order to become Jewish. We study the Jewishness of Jesus and the Jewish roots of Christian history in order that we might grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. Jesus himself said in John 17 that eternal life was knowing the Father and his Son. And you all that go to this church, you know that the word in Hebrew for know carries the idea of intimacy. Intimacy with God. Abraham knew Sarah and she conceived. It wasn't just head knowledge. Abraham had an intimate relationship with Sarah. I want us to have an intimate relationship with God. So use this time of darkness and crisis to grow in your intimacy, your intimate knowledge of him. Don't waste this time. Verse 23 of chapter 9 of Jeremiah, page 974. If you've got a Bible like mine. Thus says Yahweh, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last week when we looked at that word righteousness, we used Psalms 34:15 because it says that God sees the righteous and that God hears or he listens to the righteous. Amen? So if God sees the righteous and if God listens to the righteous, then I need to understand what righteousness means for my life. Amen? And here in Jeremiah 9, righteousness is one of the things that God delights in. Amen? So he sees the righteous, he hears the righteous, and he delights in righteousness. Amen? So therefore, I need to make righteousness a high priority in my life. We said last week, we read from Romans 14, verse 17, where Paul said, the kingdom of heaven is not in meat and drink, but the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I believe the Apostle Paul put them in order because progressively when one seeks to be righteous before God, it brings peace and joy into his life. And if you remember last week, our definition of righteousness was one who follows the path. Amen? The path of God, the ways of God. In other words, someone who lives their life according to the commands of God, the statutes, the precepts, the Torah of God, the instruction of God. You're on those righteous paths. Someone who fears God, I believe someone who says they fear God is someone who is walking on that righteous path, living according to the Word of God. Amen? So now I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Hallelujah. God is good. Glory to God. Isaiah 32. And I think we'll pick it up. Oh, let's go over here to verse 9. And right above verse 9 in my Bible, it says, consequences of complacency. That's what I'm talking about this morning. We don't want to grow complacent, dull of hearing, dull of seeing during this crisis. We had a crisis. Everybody in the church rose up. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's not lose that vigor, lose that zeal to continue to seek God. At the same time, let's not spoil this opportunity. Because I'll tell you, I'm taking more time reading my Bible, more time praying, more time with God than I do on a normal week. Because, you know, a lot of times I'm sheltered in place. So you don't want to waste this opportunity. I've already said that 4 or 5 times. But here in verse 9, it says, rise up, you women who are at ease. Now, don't you men get all excited because this is talking about women. I want you to include yourself in this. It says, rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, you complacent women, for the vintage will fail, the gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, and gird sackcloth on your waist. People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city. Because the palaces will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The forts and towers will become lairs forever. A joy of wild donkeys. A pasture of flocks. Until, he said, this is what's going to happen. If you're complacent, and he's using that agricultural metaphor. If you're complacent, you're not working the garden, you're not tilling the garden, you're not planting the garden, you're not keeping the weeds out of the garden. He says that garden's not going to be fruitful. That garden's going to produce thorns and thistles. Amen? And that's a metaphor for your life, my life. If we don't till the garden of our heart, amen? If we don't plant the Word of God in our heart, let the Holy Spirit water that garden. We're not going to be fruitful in this life. Amen? And once again, I'm going to tell you, you're in a crisis, but it's a golden opportunity for you to produce more fruit in the kingdom of God, to allow yourself to grow in your intimacy and knowledge of Yahweh. He goes on to say, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Now watch what he says. For the work of righteousness will be peace. Glory to God. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Now, we looked Friday night at that word rest, or here it says resting places. And it's the Hebrew word nuach. It's where we get our word Noah, our English word Noah. It means to rest. But it doesn't mean to take a nap. It means to be victorious, to have victory, to be at ease because you've triumphed. How many know that Jesus has triumphed over sin, death, hell, and the grave? Amen. And you are to rest in that victory. Glory to God. Face these things as not as though it were. Amen. We haven't defeated this coronavirus yet. But with God's help, we will. Amen. We're trusting in Him. You know, the oil business right now, it's kind of slow because of the oil prices. Somebody asked me, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to trust God just like we always do. We trust Him when we're on the mountain. We trust Him on the way down to the valley. And in the valley, we trust Him in the valley. And on the way back up the mountain, we trust Him. And we get to the top of the mountain, we're going to continue to trust Him. Now let me go back now. So they're going to dwell in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Quiet resting places. Because the victory is ours. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now let's go back to verse 17. The work of righteousness will be peace. Or the fruit of righteousness will be peace in your life. And I want to look at that word peace, but I want to look at it here in a few minutes. Because right now I want you to go to Psalms 18. But remember, the work of righteousness, or when someone is living according to the Word of God, we've taken the path of God, living according to His Word, the fruit of that work of righteousness is going to be peace. So turn with me to Psalm 18. You know, I was looking at some scriptures, and I found this scripture, and, you know, I found one scripture in Psalms 18, and then two, and then three, and then four, and then pretty soon I was like, you know, we just got to read the whole thing. Because it's really, really good. And then I'll talk about peace for a few minutes, and I'll shut up and let you eat lunch. Glory to God. Now, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. We're in a crisis, right? Who's going to be our strength? It's not going to be Fox News. It's not going to be the Republican Party. It's not even going to be the president, although I like our president. I'm happy for his leadership. Our strength is still in God, Yahweh, the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God. He says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Do you know what it means? When the Bible says he's our rock, the Hebrew word is zur, T-Z-U-R, for rock. And the idea of God being our rock is He is our strength, He is reliable, and He is trustworthy. That's the rock in which we stand. Amen. Verse 2, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. We don't have any other choice as Christians. I don't want another choice. I love the fact that when all hell is breaking loose in the world and the world's people, now I don't want hell to be unleashed on the world, don't get me wrong. But I love the fact that when there is a crisis, God has given us who have accepted His Son Jesus and repented of our sins, He has given us the gift of faith to trust in Him. That's what keeps us sane. That's what keeps us from worry and fret and having ulcers. As we trust in Him. Because what? Why? Because He's our rock. He's our strength. He's reliable and He's trustworthy. Goes on here, the second part there, verse 2 or third part. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let me tell you something. You're sheltered in place. You're not running around everywhere. Give God some extra praise. Amen. You'll have iPhones and iPads and whatever. You can download all kinds of praise and worship music. Download some praise music and take some extra time and praise Him through this crisis. Verse 4, the pangs of death surrounded me and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. You know what? Death is surrounding us. This coronavirus is causing a lot of people to die. Amen? And in our society and around the world, we are flooded with ungodliness on the right hand, on the left hand. Same-sex marriage, abortion, politicians that can't tell the truth, lies, distrust, division. We have ungodliness. It is all around us like a flood. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Now, you all know at this church that Sheol means hell. And before Jesus died, hell had two compartments. One was called paradise. It's where the righteous went after they died. The other part was called hell. It was a place of torment. That would be the place of sorrow. So the psalmist says, the sorrows of Sheol, that place of torment, they surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Somebody say hallelujah. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills also quaked and were shaken. Because He was angry, smoke went up from His nostrils and devouring fire from His mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place. His canopy around Him was dark waters, thick clouds of the skies from the brightness before Him. His thick clouds passed with hailstones, coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out His arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance, and He vanquished them. He will vanquish this coronavirus. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At Your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Your nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. You know, I got a praise report from Veronica Frides, our missionary down in the Dominican Republic. She's not been able to go back yet because of the upheaval in the government. She wasn't allowed to go back. That's kind of subsiding and dying down. But now they've got the coronavirus, and her husband, Alex, contracted the coronavirus and was ill. But praise God, he's on the mend. He's getting better. Amen? He's getting better. He has delivered Alex from the strong enemy of the coronavirus. Somebody say amen. From those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You know, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, God delights in me. Wow. The King of the universe delights in you and I. 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my what? According to my righteousness. He rewards us because of our righteousness. As we walk on that path in obedience to God's word promises to reward us. He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. You know, I got a chuckle when I read that this week. That God rewards me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. And of course, you know, the cleanness of my hands, that's an idiom for the acts I do. Am I doing evil actions or evil acts? Or am I staying on the path of righteousness? And I got to chuckle because, you know, with this coronavirus, everybody's washing their hands multiple times a day and everybody's using hand sanitizer when they can find it. Amen. And that my hands are so kind of dry and rough right now, I had to put some lotion on them from all the washing and the hand sanitizer. But I got a kick out of that because in this time of washing our hands. But he's not really talking about washing your hands to protect from germs. He's talking about your actions. Is my life, am I living according to the word of God, or am I doing my own thing? So he rewards us according to our righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Remember last week we said that wickedness means to depart from the path, to stray from the way of God. And here the psalmist says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, verse 21, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him. I kept myself from iniquity. Remember, iniquity at its core in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word avon, and it means to be bent and twisted, going in an opposite direction of God. At its core, it means rebellion, right? So the psalmist says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him. I kept myself from iniquity or rebellion. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. Again, he's talking about being rewarded according to his righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me keep reading here. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Amen. Amen. For by God, we can run through a troop. We can leap over a wall. You know what that's telling me? Because of God, we're going to come through this crisis. Amen. We're going to get there. Verse 31. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? Who is a rock? Who's reliable? Nobody except God, the psalmist says. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on the high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. Glory to God. I want to jump down to verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. You know, in this hour we live in, it is truly up to us. The world's not going to do it. Government's not going to do it. It's up to us to exalt the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one of the ways we exalt God is walking according to his path. Amen? Remember, he sees the righteous, he hears the righteous, and he rewards the righteous. And one of the ways he rewards the righteous is with peace. Now I want to show you what peace means, and I want to use the biblical text to show you that meaning. You know it. It's the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is used as a greeting. We say hello, hi, how are you? People in Israel say shalom, or they say shalom aleichem, which means peace be unto you. So they're actually speaking a blessing over you. Peace be unto you. They also say shalom when they're departing. So it is a greeting, but at the same time, it's a blessing. Amen? So I want to look at the Hebrew meaning, the ancient Hebrew meaning of the word shalom. And if we turn over to Exodus 21, glory to God, hallelujah. Exodus 21. Let's look at verse 35. Yeah. If one man's ox hurts another's, what in the world does an ox have to do with peace? Well, I'm about to tell you, okay? Be patient. If one man's ox hurts another's, and I'm in Exodus 21, verse 35. If one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely shalom, or pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. So, if a man's ox dies and you caused it to die, then you're required to get that man another ox. So how does that equate to our definition of shalom or peace? Well, at its root, shalom means many names. It has many concepts and ideas. But at its root, it means wholeness. And so what's happening here is this man's not whole because his ox is dead because of something you did or because of something your ox did. So in order for you to bring peace or shalom, to make this man whole, you've got to restore or replace his ox. So at the core of the word shalom, it's speaking of restoration and wholeness. Amen? From the late 1800s until now, Jews have been going back to Israel. God is restoring the wholeness of the land of Israel by bringing the people of the land back. He's restoring. Amen. So peace means to have your life restored. Amen. Let's look at another example. In Genesis 43. Genesis 43. And let's look at verse 28. Now, of course, these are Joseph's brothers. Remember Joseph? They throw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He ends up in prison. And then he ends up being the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And so there's a famine in the land, and his brothers come to Egypt to find grain, to find food. And lo and behold, the man in charge of the food is their brother Joseph, but they don't recognize him. And so they pay for the food, and he puts the grain in their bags, and he puts their money back in their bags. And it says here in verse... Oh, 23. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your fathers has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Peace be with you. What's he talking about? He gave them their money back. He made them whole. They've got their food, that's what they need, and they got their money. He made them whole. Amen. He restored something to them. That's what the root of peace means. Something that is replaced, something that is restored, something that is made whole by the restoration power of God. I can honestly tell you, I was a rotten, dirty scoundrel of a sinner. And I never had any peace in my life because I was raised in church. I was raised in church, and I knew that the only answer to the misery in my life was Jesus Christ. But it wasn't until I repented, came to Jesus, got filled with the Spirit of Messiah, that God began to restore my life and make my life whole again. Amen. I didn't need to do those things that I used to do. God was making me whole. I finally had true peace because God was restoring and making me whole. And then again, if you look down in verse 28, it says, and they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. That phrase, good health, is actually the Hebrew word shalom. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Their father's in good health. He's whole. He's complete. Amen. And righteousness, the works of righteousness, produce the wholeness of God in your life. Amen. If you will live your life walking according to his ways, he'll make you whole. He'll give you peace. Peace, wholeness is the fruit of righteousness. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you what we're about to do. I had a lot of positive feedback on Friday night. So I'm going to take my old notes and add a lot to them. And we're going to develop a school of ministry class from them on Shabbat, and it'll be offered free. Bishop Brad doesn't know that yet, but it'll be offered free on Friday. We're going to keep teaching on Friday, okay? And we're going to start on Friday probably at 7, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to, if you're home alone, you're by yourself. If you've got family that live with you, I want you to gather your family around your dinner table, and I want you to light 2 candles. I want you to get out your prayer books, and if you've got children there or grandchildren, I want you to speak those blessings over them. If it's just a husband and wife, I want you to speak the blessing for the husband and the wife over them. I want you to do this at 6 o'clock on Friday, and then I want you to eat a meal together. And then at 7, we're going to live stream this class on the Sabbath. And I think it'll be really good. I was telling Brian about it, and Brian was really excited about it. So we're going to do that this Friday, and we're going to continue for about 8 weeks. Hopefully, by the end of this thing, you'll be able to come together with me. Amen? So, with that said, I want you all to be blessed. And we're going to try our best to get back here Wednesday night at 7 and live stream our Bible study with you. I must tell you, I'm very thankful for the technology we have to get the word to you where you're at. But I really, really want to worship with you in person. I miss that. I want us to have that. That's why it's important that everybody tunes in to these live feeds, because we don't want to lose that sense of community and sense of family. I don't want us to finally come back here to worship and we're all strangers. So I think it's great that we have that, be able to text each other and communicate with each other. Continue to do that. Continue to speak to each other. Try to put something on that group text message, you know, about what God has done in your life. Or just give God a praise. Amen. Text somebody, you know, ask them how they're doing. Just stay connected. Amen. If you need something, try to contact me or Wilma or Terry, and we'll do our best to get it to you. Amen. So I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to loose you and let you go. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. I thank you for these, your people. Father, I ask that everybody watching this service, that you would bless them spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life. I thank you, Lord, for healing Veronica's husband, Alex. And Father, I just continue to pray right now for Charles David's mother, Jean. Touch her, heal her, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Listen, if you can, contact myself or Wilma or Terry about dropping your tithe off to the church. Amen. And hopefully, prayerfully, we will worship together soon and very soon. I have not ruled out Passover yet. We're going to wait and see how things do with the coronavirus. I do have another option, and I'll explain that option to you later. But God bless you. Until Wednesday, stay out of trouble. We off.